podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Jamie Giddens has been a busy blogger, Kirsten Storms is taking a break from General Hospital, Jane Elliott is set to retire, and Elizabeth Hendrickson is off contract at The Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Have been blogging and blogging and blogging news and breaking stories, and now you're under the weather because of it. What are you going to do?
Well, I had to make up for the last 6 months. Yeah.
You're under the weather. We're glad you're here. Hope you feel better soon. Mike Jubonville? I think I got that right. Welcome.
Let's just call him Mike Jubilee.
Jubilee.
Just call me Mike. That's fine. Don't call me anything else.
Jimbo,
like
welcome.
Madonna and Hello. Prince. He dropped the last name.
I thought it was Jubonville, and then he said it was Jubonville. Then he said it was Jubonville. He don't know what he won't call himself.
Thank you. At least someone's backing me up that this changes. This has changed multiple times
He's
over
like
the last
Teresa
decade.
From the
I'm voting for Mike because I know how Luke has butchered and botched people's names over the generations.
Listen, I texted Jamie a study last night. He didn't get it because photos aren't showing up on his phone. But apparently, people who have problems with memory and names, problems with names, are overly stressed out. And I was like, well, this finally explains why I can't remember any names.
And then he starts telling me what.
And then I said, Jamie must be much better at managing stress because he can remember every name under the planet.
No, he started trying to tell me something was wrong with my phone, and I'm got the flu, and so I texted back, "Thank you, Sprint customer service."
To which I replied before he, because he didn't tell me he was sick at that point. I was like, "I think I'm gonna find a Grumpy Cat meme for you, Mr. Grumpy." But Mr. Grumpy had a great week of blogging. Jamie, you broke 3 stories. Which do you want to start with? Elizabeth Hendrickson, Jane Elliott, or Kirsten Storms?
Well, I'll say this, and you know how much I love my breaking news, but you see I didn't put exclusive behind any of these because all of these are stories that have been out there. So Jane Elliott first started talking about wanting to retire last year in an interview with TV Guide's Michael Logan. So giving credit where credit's due, you know, she told him first a year ago. Now, I found out that this was the year, and I've held off, but you know, the rumblings have started making their way to social media, so I said okay, you know. And then when I found out it's definitively happening, she is, you know, she's put in her notice, I just figure that's news. You know, I always try my best to refrain from, I mean, yeah, we do spoilers from time to time, but we try to do them just a week out. So I try not to let the breaking news affect it because, you know, I didn't say anything about her story. Because I don't know what her exit story is.
Gina Shelley don't know what her exit story is. This is called a fade to fade.
Well,
Gina Shelley don't know what most of their own stories are.
Okay.
That would not surprise me. But this is not a writer issue. She has wanted to go for some time. She has been acting in soaps for 50 years. So, I mean, I've been blogging in soaps for 10, and I feel her. So, I mean, she's ready to let go and kick her heels up. And
Gina Shelley ain't did nothing to motivate her to stay. So,
You know what? I've seen worse stories for her than what she got under Gene and Shelley. I mean, I feel like her and Hayden saving the hospital and her friendship with Hayden and Finn has been a fun little story. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, my God, I can't believe Tracy is used to prop these new characters. This is not brand new. That's no different than Jesse Brewer being used to help the fans like Bobby or Maggie Horton being used to help the fans finally like Melanie on Days of Our Lives. You know, that's just soaps 101 to get a veteran to like the newbies. In fact, it's recommended as opposed to just putting the newbies on 5 days a week by themselves, which is like what they do with Valentine and Nina, putting two newbies to the show in all these scenes where he's telling her about her feelings and I'm trying to get her right. I love you. And I'm like, why do I care about y'all?
Mm-hmm.
Just because y'all got Lulu's rotten egg. Get away.
Oh, whoa. He's
with Tracy, you know. And I see Hayden as a junior Tracy. That's what they kind of tried to, and Monica got something to do. So Gina and Shelley have a lot of problems. Look, I'm not denying that, but I don't think she's the reason Jane Elliott is heading stage. Well, in fact, I know they're not. So, yeah, I'll be sad to see her go. Although I will say this, because Days of Our Lives is bringing back the character of Alexander Devereaux, who Days of Our Lives fans know that child was not really Adrian's, even though Adrian raised him. That's the child of Justin Kiriakis. And Angelica Devereaux, originally played by Jane Elliott and Wally Kurth, who GH fans, guess what? Yeah, they mama and son on GH, but they were screwing in Salem. And so I did have
that
this.
That had to be weird when that first, like when they first ended up that way on General Hospital.
I interviewed Wally years ago, and he said for like the first 6 months, Jane had to stop him and say, "You're playing sexual chemistry with me. Stop it. I'm your mama on this show." And he's like, because they had been lovers on Days. And so,
slapping her thigh. Cut it out, Wally.
Judith Chapman replaced her in the role, and she's a little busy right now, so she can't come back. So I did have this moment where I'm like, it would be kind of nice if before she headed over to Amsterdam to hang with Tony.
I was just going to say, do you really think that Jane...
That's a joke for you. You. Every people in the comments, poor Luke gets interrupted. He interrupts most of everybody.
That is factually not accurate.
What's so important? Never mind. I can't finish my Amsterdam joke.
Well, that was going to be my question, because you suggested her going to Days, but wasn't the whole thing about her friend in Amsterdam not liking Ron? Do you think she's really going to go to Days of Our Lives and work for Ron?
She ain't her friend. He didn't like nothing. Tony Geary didn't like Claire Levine, and he, had issues with Wendy Rich. To me, that spoke volumes. I'm not saying Ron is the... those are two very different writers, Claire Levine and Ron Carlovati. But I will say this much. If you look at our boards or any soap boards, Claire Levine is considered a writing deity. Now, Ron has his diehard fans, and then he has his detractors. But Claire is one of those people. If you ever watched the old In Living Color sketch show where Miss Bonita would be like, "But nobody say nothing about this."
Yes! Oh, my God.
So I'm like... Tony Geary didn't like her writing, so Tony Geary didn't like nobody's writing. Tony Geary, as popular as he was in this genre, and he was and he will always be a legend, he said it best. Those interviews he gave Logan were so truth-telling, where he was like, "I have to make peace with the fact that it's going to be on my grave that I'm Luke from Luke and Laura." Well, boo-hoo-hoo! You didn't make it as a matinee idol. You didn't give Harrison Ford a run for his money, and you're
that's
upset about
him and his agent. Give me that
Amsterdam summer house you got, and give me them 10,000 ducats an episode you were making before 2008. I wouldn't have had to be Harrison Ford with that. I'd have put on that blonde spiral perm wig and told Lara, "I love you, my angel. Let's go stop them from bringing a frostbite to Port Charles again," till I was 80 years old. But he didn't like that. His problem with Ron, he wanted them to let Luke Spencer kill himself on national television. That was one of the big stories he wanted. He wanted his exit. He wanted the greatest anti-hero in soaps to kill himself on national TV. Now, do you think they won't even let you barely say condoms on these networks? Do you think the networks, the sponsors, the fans, they would have all come for Ron with the fire of a thousand suns? Now, yeah.
I mean, you see what they did when when didn't Bo like Brady died.
He didn't like Luke, Fluke, Nuke, and Took. But doggone it, if Luke Spencer had just gutted himself like a fish on a daytime soap opera, it would have been pandemonium. Women in t-shirts with teddy bears on it would have been picketing outside of Prospect Studios, screaming and yelling and hollering like they'd have lost their baby daddy. You know, give me a break.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Kirsten Storms. She's taking a break from the role of Maxie, which is sad in the fact that we're not going to have Maxie on our screens, but sometimes people need to take breaks. You wrote that story as well.
A question in this. Yes, I wrote that story too. And what I'll say about that is I can't say anything about it. But what I will say is because she's not heavy in story, I don't see this as a big headache for Gene and Shelley. This is the one time where GH having a grotesquely bloated cast can benefit them, because they really can just, you know, say that Maxie and Nathan are off enjoying their honeymoon or whatever. I've heard no inklings of if there's going to be a temporary recast again this time. But I will say, you know, Kirsten Storms has had, you know, several, this is her third exit. The first one was due to endometriosis. The second one was due to a skin issue. So she had a divorce there was a divorce with co-star Brandon Barash. She's been under some stress and things like that. So I just hope that she gets the time and the rest that she needs to get herself back, you know, together. You know, it was fans were talking about her appearance being different on the show and things like that. This is not something that was able to be hidden. So, you know, she's off getting herself together. And all I know is, you know, there's no real, she's still on the show. There's no discussion as of this point, at least that I know of. They haven't cast anyone. I'm sure I don't know what their discussions are, but there is no Molly Burnett's coming in or Jen Lilly at this point. There's that. I mean, you know, again, like I said, GH has such a huge cast that it's, you know, it's noticeable, obviously, because she's beloved, but they have time to get it right.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened on GH this last week. Jillian, before the podcast, we were talking, and you were like, and I'm paraphrasing, but the essence of it was, watching General Hospital this last week, I throw myself out a window, and I'm on the first floor. What had you up in arms about General Hospital? Or was there more than one thing?
Thank you. I did not say I would. I did throw myself out of a window. I said, I wish I could throw myself out of a window. And I'm on the floor. That's what I said.
Where do I begin? That custody battle was bullshit. Because we all know how Diane Miller gets down. That's why Sunny has her own container. Diane is just at the bar talking to a random stranger. Girl, let me tell you how I get down in court. And spilling all her tea to Nora. When she first said to Nora, I'm going up against Nora Buchanan. I've looked her up and da-da-da-da. So I said to myself, self, Diane is a bad bitch. She just said she looked up her opponent. You mean to tell me she don't know what the hell Nora looked like? And she's spilling her strategy to a stranger? That annoyed me because this is supposed to be smart writing by smart women, according to somebody. Anyway, she gets, you know, Nora gets in the court and, like, wipes the floor with Diane, in my opinion. And I'm like, Diane has two smoking guns. She should have had Ava come in there and be like, Your Honor, I have a surprise witness. And have Ava talk about, oh, Nina, she should not raise a child. She tried to take my baby from me. She cut my baby out of my cat. No more questions, Your Honor. And for the slam dunk and to bring the win home, she should have brought Kevin in to say Valentine should not raise a cactus, let alone a child, because he shot me. And the judge should have been like, okay, you two don't need to raise nothing. That I just don't understand this. This is just a one-sided custody case. And it's
plus Lulu and Laura never brought up that he shot Nicholas.
You can't bring that up. They tried to bring that up and the judge shut it down. He can't bring that up.
Okay, I missed that part. I'm sorry.
we know for a fact he shot Kevin. Kevin is still there to tell the tale. Everybody knows what Nina did, so that should be used against them. Why it is not, I don't know. I'm praying that since this custody case is not over, they still use that, because that's just glaring and just ridiculous. That annoyed me. Then that...
Keep going.
And
keep
then
going.
I mentioned Olivia, and you practically mushroomed into a nuclear bomb.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
And I love it.
Oh my god! Oh my god! That storyline is the worst, and it's just March, and it pisses me off that Frank Valentini would sit his happy ass on Twitter and act like a Twitter thought with this Axe GH bullshit so he could get more followers. Instead of going to those two and the demon kept and saying, what is this bullshit that you have going on TV? No, you need to rewrite that and come up with something fresh, because this is garbage. You mean to tell me Olivia bum rushing? Olivia has Anna has a gun on Olivia. Olivia, Anna puts the gun down. Olivia gets to jump on Anna with a butter knife. Griffin has a gun on Olivia. Olivia gets the bum rush on him. Like, are you serious? And with the exposition of Alexis and Lucas talking about Olivia and Julian in that hallway, I almost beat the shit out of my TV. That was the worst. It was just the worst. These storylines are garbage. I don't know what they are doing in there. Again, it's been touted by one of your actors that you have smart women writing smart stories, and you have Alexis as a dumbass, you have Ava as a dumbass, you have Diane as a dumbass. Do I need to go
on? What about
on?
Jordan and Anna too?
They have no. Jordan, no. I will give them that. Friday's episode, Anna brought it home when
she
was
did,
like,
but
when
they...
she said no, that's your opinion. I don't think they have Anna as a dummy. Anna was the only
they've
one.
Weakened.
Who...
Everything else about Anna's story is a dummy.
Yeah, they weakened her.
I don't think they've weakened her per se, because Anna still. She was in that hospital bed and she was like, fuck this, I'm going to go get Olivia's bitch ass. And when she told her, I have Robin, even though Anna was weak and was falling to the ground, she still sucked it up and was like, you going to give me my baby. I'm going to put you back in the ground. I'm going to do something that your hipster brother couldn't do, is put a bullet in your chest, girl. So she still was still within character, and she figured out that Robin was in the elevator when she was like, Olivia said that my past has come back to me. Oh my God, Robin's in the elevator. And when she was like, oh shit, she was like she was still true to form. Everyone else, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Gina,
what did you think of Duke?
You just gonna make me go off on these two. That Duke's ghost thing, Finola channeled what I was sitting there thinking when she looked at Griffin and was like, what the fuck? I was like, what is this? This is just absolute garbage. It is the worst. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. Gene and Shelly need to go. Like Elizabeth.
Thank
Corset,
you.
Batter up, Frank. You need to tell her, look, girl, you taking this head writing job. If she hems and haws, you taking it, or you gotta go with the three of them too. They are horrible. The stories that they're writing is just pure trash. And
they never know their history.
They don't
or
know
care.
They don't give a damn. We know Shelly don't give a damn because she said as much in an interview. She don't give a damn. She don't take the time to carve out history. And I'm just done with them. I'm over it. I'm tired. I'm done with them. That Nell reveal was weak and whack. We still don't know how she's a match for Jocelyn when we know they have been driving it home that Carly is adopted. She is adopted. How is she a match? This is ridiculous. I don't like the storylines that they're telling. It's just a waste of space. And I'm done with GH. I'm done. The reason why I'm so hard with GH, again, people think that YNR is my show. That's just the show that I was assigned. I was given when I started with DC. I was given two options. Luke and Jamie were like, you either want B&B or you want YNR. I said, you know what? I'm going to take YNR. And I took, because we had someone doing B&B. I took YNR, and I learned my, you know, I have history with Y&R, but not the history that I do with GH. And it just frustrates me to no end that this is the, you know, everybody said Ron had to go. Ron had to go. I ain't gonna lie. Some of the, you know, y'all know I was vocal about the bullshit that Ron had with Luke, Duke, Fluke, and Puke, and Chook, and all that bullshit. I was done with all that. And the mask offs and the face offs and all that jazz. I was done with all that too. But this right here, GH is not cohesive. It's just all over the place. Gene and Shelly are just like, I'm going to chop shit up and let it stick to the wall and let the chips fall where they may. They need to go. They need to go. And they also need to tell Frank, you are on notice. We're putting you on notice. And they need to find someone else too, because I'm sorry. The buck stops with them, but it also stops with Frank too. Frank is that. The EP, Frank should tell them not no, but fuck no. But
the buck stops with Frank Valentini. Yes! Gene and Shelly weren't giving ass GHs. Gene and Shelly weren't bragging about that whole Nora situation that you hated. Frank was on Twitter bragging about how he directed that. So that's where the buck stops. Gene and Shelly are factory workers. They're Laverne and Shirley on the assembly line. Or Lucy and Ethel trying to stuff
say Lucy
as
and
many
Ethel?
Chocolate balls in their mouth as they can. While Frank
needs to go too. He
those
needs to
the
go.
Cast is, you know, the cast is a metaphor for Lucy and Ethel's chocolate balls. Frank is the one churning them down the assembly line, and Lucy and Ethel are trying to stuff them in their mouth.
You know, Frank needs to go too. Frank needs to go too. And I'm sorry, this is no shade against Hillary B. Smith. I don't want Nora coming to GH. I don't want no One Lifers coming to GH. That cast is, like you said, beyond bloated. Don't add nobody else to that cast. That cast is it's gargantuan. And half of them don't have anything to do. When they had Lucas there giving that exposition, I was like, really? This is what you brought him back for? To just do a replay? We know we can read things. We know how this is. We can go. Yeah. We can binge watch it. We know what happened. We don't need Lucas to give us a play-by-play. Have him do something else.
There's a lack of ability to follow through with a climax. I mean, the big thing was that, you know, Morgan's killer was going to turn out to be who? Olivia. Now it's segued into Olivia having Frankenstein thoughts about Griffin being Duke.
Oh my God.
And it's almost like you've forgotten. They're moving so fast through stuff that there's no climax to these stories. They just meander through.
Well, there is going to be a climax with that story next week. Sunny will find out. Well, this coming week, because it's Sunday. Ugh! God, excuse me. I feel like my lungs are about to fly up through my mouth. But Sonny is going to learn about Olivia this coming week. And so there'll be some dramatic payoff ripped from The Godfather 3.
Yeah, but look at, you know, even with Ava. Ava is...
I have the flu.
Ava is
killed my son. It's going to be a mixture of The Godfather 3 and The Princess Bride. You'll kill my son. Then she's going to be like, I voted for Trump. I can do anything. I'll jump off the bridge.
You know what? Okay. It better end with her being dead this time. I mean, like, real dead. I mean, like, Jason needs, y'all know what I always say about Jason, two to the head, you know they dead. It needs to end with Jason.
This is the problem
with
GH and this climax. And this is where I feel that there are way more, you know, the whole company has become problematic. And as I say that, I mean the leadership, because the actors are just trying to do what's on the page. But this is a multifaceted problem that exists beyond Gene and Shelly, because they are not writers that have autonomy. So their bosses have to be held accountable too, especially how thirsty and media hungry their bosses are. You know, I have never seen an executive producer, you know, First of all, let me give GH some praise. Whoever is doing their social media, y'all are on point. Finally. Remember, we would go through like weekend, and there wouldn't even be a tweet on the GH.
Yo, they were like, I'm off on Friday. They'd be like, I'm off on the weekend.
Like, sometimes running out like Fred, yubba dubba doo, you know, at the end of Flintstones. But now they are just killing it. But of course, Frank had to be wanting to be all, you know, you remember when Suge Knight went off about Diddy and he said, you know, he said at my, you know, at Death Row, you know, you can come over here in Death Row and be artists. You don't have to worry about the CEO wanting to be all up in your videos. You know, that was a
all
big
in the studios. Yeah,
that was a big moment in the East Coast, West Coast feud. That's Frank. I don't see Mal Young doing SGHs. I don't see Mal Young being at the convention trying to get people to sign his autographs too. I don't see Mal Young all up. As soon as the first batch of pictures come out from the GH convention, there he is. I don't see Mal Young doing videos like he's Vanessa Marcel. Frank wants to be a superstar. Frank wants to get his Instagram followers up. Frank wants to be Frank Kardashian. And Varney is right there beside him. No, bitch! Not today! Not today! You go to SGH, I'm going to do a podcast, bitch. It's like, will y'all go do your job? I know it's some paperwork on your desk that need filing is what needs to happen. You shouldn't be.
I don't see anybody at Dave's doing that.
I don't know. I didn't know what David Shaughnessy from The Young and the Restless looked like till last year. Watched his name scroll across my credits for years. If Ed Scott hadn't been married to Melody, I wouldn't have known what he looked like.
Mm-hmm.
In the pictures, because he was on the carpet with her. You know what I'm saying? It's like you the executive producer of the show. You too thirsty. You too thirsty. And then you get dragged in these SGHs. And because I'm trying to be more like Jesus these days, I don't go ahead. You know, Dilly recapped a lot of them, but I was like, nah, we're not going to have it.
See, I'm going to keep it real. I wanted to.
You know, one of the fans asking them, do you braid Roger Hubbard's hair? I was like, nah, we're not going to do that, because I'm trying to be more Christian. But you make it hard. You make the devil rise up. And, you know, I know y'all have been mad at Gene and Shelley for a minute, and the Gene and Shelley definitely deserve their lumps. But I'm going to say this. Gene and Shelley have a boss man who is bringing on all these people who don't need to be on there, because he wants to stack the cast up like that. Story is not paramount, because he wants to direct the scene the way he wants. I want y'all to know. Do you want a cookie for that? That ain't nothing new in daytime. That is the oldest daytime trick in the book. You know, the pan out, and we're not going to let you know who it. Who cares? And yeah, okay. You were at One Life to Live. I get it. We all get it. We all enjoyed we loved the last few seasons of One Life to Live. If GH was as good as the last few seasons of One Life to Live, we would be very happy. But the trick to making GH as good as the last few seasons of One Life to Live is One Life to Live actors and characters. Now, I'm not saying never, because I do think that I do think Dorian would be great, because she was a doctor. So especially with Jane Elliott leaving the show, I feel if Dorian somehow turned out to be the
God
of that that biochemical company that that Silas sold.
You just gave Frank a hard on.
No, I'm just saying, if you know, that's organic and that makes sense. Them not being able, Valentine not being able to find a lawyer in New York is not, having to go to Pennsylvania to get a lawyer does not make sense. Plus, wasn't Nora the DA? I mean, she gave up being a district attorney to go back to private practice. Anyway, I don't know why. And, you know, he won't bring Vanessa Marcel back. That's who GH fans want. Ingo's coming back, and he's like, no, Ingo's coming back. Ingo should have been here for this nail reveal. I mean, yeah, he'll come back. The wind is going to be out of that sail for him to come back and let Sonny and Carly yell at him about the nail situation next week. He should have somehow been in town with Jocelyn during this storyline. And you should have played it up for the soap factor, which is when children find out their parents have done horrible things, it always leads to good soap. When Victoria Newman found out about her father and Ashley Abbott, that drove incredible story. When Sammy found out about John and Marlena, she became daytime's greatest super bitch. If Jocelyn had been here to overhear all that rewriting of history, at least it could have been salvaged enough where she turns into a little Hellcat because she's mad and she believes Nell or something like that. There's none of that. It's just blatant rewriting of history. And now that brings me to where I can finally agree with y'all that it is time for Jean and Shelley to go. Because although Frank and Varney have their issues and cause a lot of problems, it is well known throughout the industry that Gene and Shelley don't pay attention to the history when they mine from it. And that has become problematic. And I'm sitting here, you know, as angry as everyone else is, but I've just, it's kind of like deja vu because I got so angry when they did it at The Young and the Restless with Paul and Nikki's backstory that now I'm like, here we go again. You know, at least I'll give them this. Paul and Nikki's story from the cult was so far back in the 70s that maybe they were thinking there weren't that many fans who were going to have remembered it. But Carly's backstory is from the 90s. It was pretty iconic. You know, all of the
Yes, it was an epic story. Even if you didn't watch General Hospital, you knew about it.
Set up a ripple effect that's still being felt today.
And if you were going to do a Carly's chickens come home to roost story, it needed to truly be of all of the characters that Carly has screwed over during her time. I'll tell you what would have been badass if while Monica had been spending all of these months pretending to be happy grandma, if she had hired Nell to destroy Carly's life because of what Carly did to AJ, or if that girl had been Durant's child, or if that girl had been, say, Faith Roscoe's or something. And, you know, GH Reed fans on Twitter were coming up with these ideas left and right. I didn't even, you know, I didn't come up with the Durant.
Even Sonny. I mean, to bring down Sonny, who killed her son.
There's
got
so
away
many
with it.
Other people Sonny and Carly have mowed down on the canvas to create this faux backstory of Carly thinking Frank Benson was a deadbeat and all this stuff. And this, that, it's just, it reeks of what they did with The Young and the Restless. And, you know, Gene and Shelley made a female villain into a man to orchestrate that story that played out on screen. They don't care. They don't care about the history.
My dream story would have been that Michael, set this up, but
Michael, it's funny that you mentioned Michael,
but he's been, you know, kissing Sonny's ass instead of being against him. But to me, Michael would have been the one to send
that would have been hot
Al,
if
and they're sleeping together at
well,
the same
the reason
time.
This awful story came about, or you know, because they obviously didn't know where they were going in the beginning, but you know, the plan, it appeared, was that Nell would have had to be some sort of relative of Carly because common sense, a relative would have to give the kidney. Mm-hmm. So, but then they decided no because they see chemistry between Nell and Michael. I guess I'm Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles rolled into one. I don't, and Helen Keller three. I don't see no chemistry enough for them for you to destroy a storyline. It's like they are not Luke and Laura. You shipped your I can. There's been plenty of examples in daytime where chemistry between actors causes you to shift your storytelling. So there's nothing wrong with that. But they really need to be worth it. These two pale, bony, boring people talking to each other, they are not the next super couple. I was so bored when they were in that cabin talking and she grabbing her damn shoulders like she, you know, cold, and I'm like, y'all ain't got no heat in the damn cabin. Why she cold? What's wrong with her?
You forgot they said, well, I'll give them that. They said that the power went out, so
well,
they were screwed.
I was cold then, but I was cold. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't see any.
I didn't feel, yeah. And the same thing with Griffin, too.
Sonny and Brenda, when they were buying that jet, I didn't think that. I didn't get any of that. Why are you dismantling a whole storyline and a whole popular character's history over these two blah people? And, you know, Chad
Duell
is up this year. He might not even stay. I don't know if he'll stay or not. But, you know,
I feel that way with Griffin, too. I mean,
Taryn, you know, I had to apologize to his fans because I got mad and called him a himbo a few months ago. Of it is, I don't know that man from Adam. He is not a himbo. So look, I'll follow my sword if I go too far. But they just hit me that day, and you know, I was like, I don't care about all these himbos they bringing on the show. So anyway, I will say this. You know, good looking guy. I can see why he has fans. No, I have not watched Supernatural because I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and I don't want to be watching a bunch of devils trying to jump in my body. But I know that he's popular. I would love to be as engaged by him, although I will say this about current soap fandom. Everybody gets a fandom now. Everybody. There doesn't even have to be a good story for him. There doesn't even have to be a good coupling for him. Everybody gets a fan base. As evidenced by, look who, and I love her. Our Shamo loves Daniel Jonas on Days of Our Lives. So everybody gets fan base. So it's like when I see all, I'm like, look, I can deal with the J Sam fans coming at me when I get fresh about Sam. I can deal with the Sonny and Carly fans. But I'm like, really? Do I have to deal with a fan war about Griffin? What does he do but stand around?
Mike,
you know, they're doing that GH convention together. They actually, you know, from the video clips I've seen, I was saying this to a friend. I'm like, they actually have some chemistry together. Carly is on the outs with Sonny for the 85th time. Why don't they have Carly have a one night stand with, let her defrock the priest? You know, I don't know.
Well, speaking of priests, Mike, Eric is back in Salem. And he's happy that Nicole has a baby. What are your thoughts on Eric's return and things on Days of Our Lives?
Okay. Okay, here's the thing. I had a tough time watching soaps this week. Days included. You heard
what?
It here. Yeah, right.
The Magic TV.
The
is
Magic
the
TV is was struggling last week. I liked Jen and Eric. There's a lot of heat between them, and Greg Vaughn is just could have chemistry, sexual chemistry with the door if he was talking to it. I mean, I think that it's great that he's supportive of Nicole, but the rest of the show, I mean, I think one of the highlights was Kayla and Steve when Kayla said, you know, we're going to do this together. We work together better than we do apart. That is something that, you know, I think we've talked about before is a good thing. But they have like three or four stories involved with people that I don't know, nor do I care about. There's Nicole, the con artist, getting conned by two strangers who I could care less about. There was Jade, which I don't really know why she was recast, with her nobody father that hates her, who chewed up more scenery with his liver transplant that failed, and then tried to take Kayla down, who's not really a transplant surgeon. And then there's Julie and Eli going off and giving his mother a hard time again. And it just was like, I couldn't, I was beside myself.
Mike, you just said Kayla is not a transplant surgeon. You know, on Days of Our Lives, every doctor is.
That's all you got out of everything that I said.
Every doctor on Days of Our Lives has to be an OBGYN, an oncologist, a transplant specialist, a pet psychic. Everything. I mean, you know, Days don't do no. You know, Lexi Carver was a cop and a doctor.
They and now they're bringing back Pocket.
Pocket is Mimi and Phillip's baby that was part of a switched baby thing, and then Patch and Kayla were going to raise it, but then the baby got put up for adoption. This is his baby with, or his grown son now, with Ava Vitale, Tamara Braun.
Why? But see, what's the point? Because Ava's dead. At least
another triangle with these vapid children, you know, Trip and Jade, who look, Jade is a sister because, you know, Taggart is her daddy. I'm like, I didn't know Jade is a sister. He need to do a DNA test because I don't think she passed the paper, the brown paper bag test. Well, yes, she would, actually. She passed with flying colors.
Oh, yeah.
And Nicole.
But she wouldn't pass bring home. I'm like, she a sister, her daddy black. I didn't know this. She like, oh, anyway.
Every time Nicole cries, I go on mute because I can't deal with Nicole crying. I can't deal. You know what? I know I'm skipping to YNR, but it's just really just one comment. When Lauren was crying this week, it was all I could do to not pitch my TV. But all these crying women on the shelves, it just needs to stop. I can't.
Well, Lauren thought her child.
No, I get it. I get it. It's after watching a week of all this stuff, then I was settling in to watch Young and the Restless, and then I had to see Lauren going at it. I was like, I can't. I just,
Nicole,
I'm done.
Nicole cries for no reason, especially considering she used to be so badass. I mean, this is Nicole that figured out how to, you know, my favorite Nicole moment was when she realized that because Marlena was killing everybody in Salem, she could kill Victor and frame it on her, and threw that what kind of electrical device did she throw in Victor's bath water to fry him like a damn?
Was it a toaster?
It was either a toaster or a hairdryer. I forget. Yeah. But that's the Nicole that I love.
It was tough for me to watch Dave. All of it.
Well, and and we're gonna miss Nicole because Arian Zucker's leaving the role. That's gonna be terrible.
I'm not.
Well,
gonna
this
miss
version
Nicole.
Of Nicole, I'm okay with her taking on for a while.
I liked Nicole when she was a.
Hellcat,
but this crying over Daniel, and you know, maybe some of that is acting choices because you know, she does date Sean Christian in real life, and she did give an interview, you know, in her exit interview with Soap Opera Digest. You know, she pointed out that Sean Christian did not quit of his own will, he got fired. Now, I got that wrong. I will honestly say I thought he got, because I can't imagine, because it's, I mean, they wrote the whole show around him and they fired him. So, and who was that? I guess that would have been under Josh and Dina. But
I guess they said not on our house.
Yeah, they were lining up every woman to, you know, chem test with them.
The problem is, if you're going to kill off a character, why do we have to hear about him for the rest of our lives? I mean, you know, you give him a baby, you give him a this, you give him a partridge in a pear tree. The only character I'm okay with that is Catherine Chancellor because she was so legendary to the show. And I'm even getting tired of that, but I'll talk about that more in a minute. But Daniel Jonas, though, you know, he still looms large over Salem. Eric can't get over mowing him down. Nicole has to.
Well, Eric should struggle with that, but it shouldn't be at the expense of us not rolling our eyes because we're still talking about Dan.
I would be like, look here now. This is a town where people have come back from helping devils get in my mama. And you didn't know. Ain't nobody. Stefano wasn't running around with grief over that. So I'm going to say, Lord, forgive me. Jesus wept. I'm going to donate some money to MAD. And I'm going to go on back to Salem, and I'm going to go on back to taking pictures because there are 45 newspapers and magazines in Salem. But instead, Jennifer's going to have him working with her at the help center. I'm like, Jennifer, you own the Spectator again. He's a photographer. I'm like, Dina, did you never even know how to play tic-tac-toe?
It's like, I just figured this is part of his step, that he has to accept certain things and maybe – going to do this for a while. I know. I'm overthinking. This is how I do.
I believe you're right that is part of what they want to do. But there's nothing sexy about Eric being this. These helper men on shows. That is, 50 Shades of Grey is not about a man who works at, a help center who falls in love with a fragile woman. It's about an alpha male billionaire who tells a woman, go in that red room, I'm going to come in there with this riding crop in a minute. And women are just squeeing all over themselves at the bookstore and the box office. You know, why do we have to have these sad religious characters? You know, why can't he be a photographer again? A sexy photographer working with Jennifer to revamp the Spectator. You know, he's out there trying to snapshots of all the evil stuff that the three families are doing in this ridiculous feud over antiquities, something. But all this, although I will say, part of Dina, and I believe that's Ryan Kwan, who, thank goodness, Ryan is staying because he does know the show and he knows the history. So when I see that stuff, I'm like, that ain't Dina. Dina don't even know how to spell antiquities. So when this story about, Deimos stealing antiquities from other countries to underwrite Titan's coffers. I'm like, okay, you can really tell Ryan it was true to fact when he was like, I was a student of the 80s. Because that would have been a day story in the 80s. They were running around, just like with GH, looking for prisms and this and that. And of course, it was, you know, a lot more entertaining because they could actually go outside and we'd see the sun and we wouldn't just see that, you know, dark, poorly decorated studio, but, and poorly lit studio, because that's the other thing. Ron could write War and Peace meets Gone Girl divided by 50 Shades of Grey. And if the lights ain't on, y'all, ain't nobody gonna watch. Why is Kayla in there putting a new, the reason that Taggart is fit to die, the reason his kidney organ transplant didn't take is because Kayla Brady did the transplant in the damn dark. Josh Griffith is gone. Albert Elar, Greg Mean, y'all turn the lights on. I know we're in a budget crunch time. Y'all can afford to have some lights on in a hospital scene. Why is the hospital always dark? Kayla can't be putting folks lit. She done put that man's gizzards down by his feet because she can't see because y'all want wise. That's not atmospheric. That's not moody. It's just stupid. Turn the damn lights on. Turn the damn lights back on. I did love Aunt Maggie getting everybody told because Aunt Maggie was speaking for the audience when she came in there and slapped her thigh and said, shut up, Blue Jack. Shut up. Don't you holler at that girl anymore. Shut up, Blue Jack. Get out of here. And then Chloe's all, thank you, man. Shut up, I ain't fit. I'm not nice to you either, you baby-stealing bitch. If you don't leave, your ass like you the one that left me in that cabin by myself all them years ago for Mickey to find me. Leave Nicole alone, you hoe. Take your opera singing ass on out of here. Maggie just got them told. I'm like, get it, Aunt Maggie. All these other veterans in daytime, some of them sleepwalking through scenes. Suzanne Rogers is like, I'm still here. I'm still Aunt Maggie. This is my house. Don't get it twisted.
Well, Maggie was getting it. Jillian on The Bold and the Beautiful, your Katie was not doing so well.
You know, it's so funny. I'm like, are you, like, hacking? I'm like, forget Russia hacking the election. Bitch, are you hacking my emails, Jamie Gittin? Because I wrote down, I was, like, watching B&B, and then I ended up watching Old and Living Color. And I was like, Katie is that friggin' Miss Bonita! You know, I'm like, she right there sitting there gossiping. I ain't one to gossip, but she ain't heard from me. I'm like, what is... They have three-time Emmy winning Heather Tom relegated to being a gossip. Like, what is this? What is this?
This is light escapist fare or whatever Brad said he wanted to do.
It's episodic, as Jamie put down.
I'm saying this. So this is my stance on B&B. Until the anniversary, I'm prepared to just relish in the memories and post content related to the memories. And then on March 24th, it's time to come at B&B hard because of everything, all the complaints we've had about Bold and Days and everything else. For me, they're all 1,000 times more watchable than The Bold and the Beautiful. And I'm tired of Brad getting a pass for being an aw shucks guy who flies everybody, oops, I mean all the white cast members to Australia. Why don't any black cast members get to go to Australia?
Zendaya
is a Forrester. His new wife is a Forrester. Maya's a Forrester. Why didn't they get an invite? Funny how that always happens. That separate but equal stuff is not enough anymore, first of all. Second of all, you know, The Avants have been shuffled into the closet and locked in the door so that we can get the new Spectras. And at first I thought they were cute, but now I'm like, dang, Brad, 5 days a week? Yeah, they're called Spectra, but that they're still newbies. So you're breaking every one of Doug Marlin's rules. You know, CJ is the only one of these people we know, for real. You know, and you have them on 5 days a week. And there isn't any of the nuance that went with Sally. Yes, Sally was comic relief. But if you look back to Sally's first scenes with Stephanie and many of her scenes after that, there was some gravitas to that. Sally was a scrapper. And Stephanie was appalled because it was known that she was a knockoff artist. That was a business model for her. Sally was never really trying to compete with the Forrester. Her business was... You know, if Ralph Lauren created a new frock, then I'm going to steal those designs and sell it to Kmart. You know, she was a knockoff artist. She was that person when your mama was like, ooh, baby, no, I can't afford them Jabot jeans, but we're going to get you some Jabots. You know, there was
no.
No, that wasn't my story either. But you know, some kids were. And, you know, that was what it was, you know, that you would go to Walmart or somewhere and you would see some Jabots that look just like Jabo. Or you would see a Tommy Hill, you know, or sometimes it would say Tommy Hill figure, but you look at the tag and it would say Fruit of a Loom, you know. So that's what Sally's, you know, so all of this, it's just, the main part of it is it's shallow. And there's nothing like being reminded of how low a show has fallen to than by looking at the old clips. Brad is not even writing for adults anymore. You know, he's just writing a really lazy, it's not, and this, that's the thing, this whole, I really want soap opera executives to get a real understanding of the definition escapist. Escapist does not mean that it doesn't deal with anything that's going on in society or the world, or escapist just means you can escape from whatever is going on into a juicy story. You know, How to Get Away with Murder is very escapist, but it deals with dark subject matter. Escapist doesn't always just have to mean light, fluffy, and I'll just go ahead and say it, insipid and stupid. And that is where we are with The Bold and the Beautiful. A lot of these stories are insipid and stupid. They don't reflect the realities of the fashion industry at all. And, you know, the whole, another thing that I'm tired of hearing is it's a soap opera. In the day and age where you can keep with the Kardashians starting tonight yet again, that you're not going to, you know, this is not me shading your show. This is me wanting to see daytime thrive and flourish. Like, I firmly still believe that it can. If I didn't believe it, I would have stopped this madness a long time ago and said, Luke, I'm out. But I do believe that it still can flourish because I watched Sex and the City and I watched how they integrated the fashion world. Now, this is where someone would say, but that's HBO. They have a bigger budget. It doesn't take a budget to say a word. It doesn't take a budget to write a world that reflects the actual fashion industry into the show. And then you might get more sponsors from the real fashion industry if you really paid attention to what is going on in the world of e-commerce. In the, look at all those wonderful stories about how, like, Jason Wu was an unknown until Michelle Obama decided to wear his gowns. Talk about a damn fashion Cinderella story or Cindefella story. These stories are so dated on The Bold and the Beautiful. And so, I mean, you know, why is, no, in 2000, in 1987, a bad review from Mr. Black could kill a fashion designer's career. Like
Mr. Blackwell,
whatever his name was. But in 2017, if Sally Spectra, she gets that she should be following and stealing from Steffi's Instagram followers, why isn't she looking up a bunch of influential fashion bloggers on Instagram instead of worrying about what Jarrett Maxwell thinks? I mean, it's just so dated. It's so safe. It's so boring. And, you know, we have all of this stuff going on in the world. You know, let's just take out the whole the responsibility that they have to do something with the Maya story, because I feel they do have a responsibility because they won awards for it and this and that. Just go for the pure storyline potential of it. The word transgender is trending every day, every single day, because it is such a hot button issue. If The Bold and the Beautiful was really telling an engaging story about Maya struggle, the, you know, furthering Maya's, because that is a struggle you'll have the rest of your life. You know, a very popular Black woman, I didn't know her name, but Mark Lamont Hill posted about it. She basically said that she's tired of people conflating transgender issues with cisgender women issues, and it caused this firestorm debate.
Oh, I know who you mean, that writer. Oh, shit.
So they were, you know, there's stuff like that that could be going on. You introduce a character who said, you know, who says something like that to Maya, and then, you know, Carla can give one of them fiery, you know, fights, you know, you, or you introduce, since they're now bringing on kids, you introduce a female to male transgender kid who's being bullied and who isn't getting able, you know. Well, it's Los Angeles, so that's a problem. But, you know, people are not, but there could still be, because, you know, people always act like Los Angeles is this fairy tale land of happiness.
Los Angeles has some racism there, too.
Racism and stuff like that there, too. So, you know, some kid who's going to school with RJ, you know, could be getting picked on by some little religious nut kid who's you know, not wanting that kid in the bathroom, and Maya gets involved in that way and becomes a spokesperson for it, and maybe Maya's life gets threatened, because that's another reality, because transgender people are being killed in this country. So you bring in some crazed stalker person who is coming after Maya. There's so many other ways that you could bring that in, and other stories that they could be telling. Brooke Logan is now... she is Archie from the Archie comics. I don't know who I was.
Yeah.
Just waiting for her next wedding.
And then you see these you see these flashbacks of her versus Stephanie in that hospital, you know, after Bridget is born, and they go after it. And Steffi says she'll use all of her power to destroy Brooke, and Brooke is screaming for that doctor to come in there and get this bitch out of her office. And, you know, the flashbacks of Brooke using her belief patent to take over Forrester. Now she just sits in her kitchen and talks about two men, and she's in her 50s now, where she should have even more gravitas than she had.
Jared thing, I feel as though with the Jared thing, it's not so dated as much. I think it's with the wrong age group. I feel as though it should have been Ridge and Brooke talking about Jared's review and being on bated breath, because that's sort of like people waiting for Vogue to see what Vogue has to say. Whereas Sally Jr. should be waiting on bated breath to see, like, if an Instagram star, like, or like a somebody like a Kim Kardashian is wearing their outfit. It's Fashion Week, and they're like, oh my God, let's go to Instagram. Let's see what Kim Kardashian, you know, let's see if she's gonna, you know, wear our gowns. Let's see if Kylie Jenner is gonna.
Yeah. What gets me though with Brad, even his own stories, even if I just suspended what I would love to see, he's missing beats that he could be playing in his own little vapid stories. Like, and this is part of it.
He didn't follow through with Thomas going to see Jarrett when he thought Jarrett wrote a column that was even bitchy for him.
The thing that irks me is all these guys are so nice. Bill Spencer is the only one who gets to be jealous and act out in rage. Why isn't
mustache twirling sometimes?
The reason that Steffi is so powerful on social media is because of Wyatt. Why doesn't Wyatt be the one? I mean, yeah, I know that they're trying to do a Forrester and a Spectra, but you can do a triangle. Why doesn't Wyatt say to Sally, you want Steffi's social media presence? Well, I'm the guy that gave it to her.
Or you know what? I just thought about something.
You. And then Steffi's like, Wyatt, I can't believe you're helping her. What? You're married. You're going to marry my brother again, so I'm a free man.
You know, like how she's so hard-pressed for Jared. She tries to go in Jared's office and read him, and Wyatt sees her, and Wyatt's like, forget Jared. You need to get your followers up, boo. And he helps her get it up. And hear me saying her get it up. I didn't mean that. But for Steffi to come in there and be like, I can't believe you, Wyatt. And Wyatt be like, bitch, I don't owe you nothing. You are my brother's headache. And the last time I checked, my brother don't want you on social media.
And I'll tell you one story that I would do that would set this show back off and give Heather Tom a lifeblood or some lifeblood again. They need to reveal, because look, Joanna Johnson has a hit show on the Fosters on Freeform. She ain't coming back. They need to bring her back for one episode to say to Steffi that she... And that, you look, I'd be, you know, this won't happen because I know, but I would say that, you know, she and Carly Manning have decided that because of the current political climate in this country, that they're leaving, that they're moving to Canada, and she signs her proxy at Spencer Publications over to, Heather Tom, Katie.
So simple.
If you want to be more dramatic, because her sister had cancer, we could reveal that Karen has, you know, and she's like, you know, Katie's like, oh my God, Karen, no, it's found and it's in the early stages. I'm going to fight this, but you know, I don't have time to keep my brother honest right now. So I'm signing over my proxy to you. And then Bill is all in there blustering and chewing that cigar. And Katie walks in and is like, hello, Belle. We're partners again. And, you know, then you put some, you know, some fight back in them, some Sam and Diane in them about what's going to happen at Spencer Publications. There's just no, every, these people are just floating. They're floating until it's time to go overseas.
They don't even have CJ and R and Rick in scenes, and they were homeboys.
The best of friends. And they all have CJ do is show up. Where's my rent? I'm like, he's Booger on The Good Times. Bookman, where's my rent? When you told me had 6 months, why the hell are you coming over here every day asking for the rent, man?
I have a problem with Coco actually being in there as an intern, because I honestly believe Ridge is right. There is absolutely no way any company would let an enemy into their camp.
No, but no company would let someone who is on record for throwing their niece in the Seine River and stabbing folks be the mistress of the family either. I mean, it's just, you know.
If she was smart, she would have that camera on her and get him doing sexual harassment, because that's exactly what that is when you're kissing employees.
Not at Force Creations.
The whole premise of the Bold and the Beautiful would collapse if interpersonal work relationships were banned.
Room should be condemned at this point. And so, but no, they don't treat it like anything resembling a real business anymore. And Bill Bell trained us so well as viewers that I'm sure writers for both of those shows go, fuck, why did Bill Bell have to be reading Forbes magazine so much?
I get what you guys are saying, but it would have been nice if Ridge told RJ, look, she's an intern, you can't do that. And then at least I could say that.
Ridge can never say that with a straight face. Jamie,
come on.
Ridge can't say that. of anybody on the Bold and Beautiful, Ridge cannot say that. But Jamie,
I know, you guys are killing me.
You published the story about Elizabeth Hendrickson not being on contract at The Young and the Restless, and I cried. She's been one of my favorites for a very long time, and she needs to be on contract.
About Elizabeth Hendrickson. I just love Mike so much. I really do. Mike is like a... Whenever there's a legal issue that is not written right on soaps, Mike just is like, no.
What here?
I need to watch Law and Order. They need to do a scene.
That's the thing. We got to hurry up and get some money so we can do a studio. Because I would love now to do a spoof skit of that, like... I have to talk to you, son. With that old dramatic Y&R B&B style music. What about, Dad? There's some papers I need you to read.
You don't need a studio. You can do it on Skype and put it up as a 50.
Jamie, you've been doing Snapchat before. Do it on Snapchat. Get yourself a good old scarf and you'll be fine.
It's like, there's some
papers. Lots of scarves.
There's some papers I need you to review and sign. No. Is this about my trust? Is this about shares in Forrester International? Is this about... No, son.
It's about getting your ass back to school because you're 15 years old.
The creation policy on sexual harassment in the workplace.
And you have RJ just...
At which point, Ridge bursts into flames.
What's going on with
Elizabeth Hendrickson?
RJ could turn around and read him, and that would be okay with me. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, RJ to cackle at Ridge and be like, I know you ain't talking, and you kept molesting my mama in the steam room. You just did it 10 minutes ago. Shit.
Jamie, what's going on with Elizabeth?
You've got to stop all this kissing!
For the love of God! Jamie, what's going on with Elizabeth Hendrickson?
I mean, they brought her back. She signed a year contract. Not much happened with it.
Partly because Justin Hartley left.
Well, no, I don't think that's the big thing.
I'm just saying, in terms of her character's storyline, sort of got torpedoed.
No, I would
the
say...
The longevity of it.
No, that would be Chuck Pratt making Chloe blow Adam's ass up.
You really can't go back, you know, this is the thing about when you let your show go so ludicrous, you know, because, you know, Sally and Kay, when they came in, now that the same could be said about Victor Newman. But Victor Newman is the star of the show and he's essential to the show. But if you think about it, they even backburnered him to try to give it some time to, you know, figure out how to recenter him. And I feel that they really have done well by having him love his family again and be the person who people go to when, you know, there's you know, dire circumstances, as he has done with Lauren and helping to save Scotty. But with Chloe, they let Chuck Pratt come in and have her put on those hooker heels and sneak out of that loft in the middle of the night through a trap door that Chelsea still ain't discovered. I hope that little boy don't find that trap door.
Instead of going to summer camp, he might be there. Well, end
I
up
hope
there.
Faith finds it so she could go to hell.
And she's blowing up people like she's one of Olivia Pope's, what do you call, what's she called them people? Gladiators. And then she's back. You can't go, you can't kill a woman's husband in a cabin and then be all braiding hair and talking about boys again. That was a hard sell. So, you know, I mean,
I kind of like that she was living with Chelsea because that was kind of soapy and they were being friends and getting close. And
they didn't play it for soapy. If Kimberlyn Brown was in that role, it would have been soapy because it would have been, hey girl, let's go hang out. And then the camera would pan on her when she walked out of the room and she would snarl her face.
Yeah, I know.
Sad to say, but it would be like, yes, Chelsea, let's go get our new dresses because you'll never wear a dress with Adam again. Not that I want that back, but there would have been something that would let you know. No, Chelsea just went back to chill mode. Yeah, let's have some ice cream and girl time. Yeah, I killed your husband. I'm sorry. I mean, that was just absurd. So, yeah, they're writing her out. I hate it, but really, Ryanair doesn't have a bloated cast like GH, but they do just have a lot of people who are kind of floating that kind of, you know, so for me, maybe this will mean the show is going to get a little tighter and, you know, it feels like with Scott there, you know, so many of those women have, you know, been running around with blue clitorises. You know, he's like an oasis in the desert for half of them. It's like, oh, a man.
You see Sharon eyeballing him? Now I thought, somebody asked me on Twitter, they were like, who do you think Scotty should be with? And I had to sit and think because I'm like, he could have been with Chloe. That would have been juicy, but she gone. Sharon would be juicy because Lauren can't stand, huh? That would be very interesting. I mean,
Let's get some young women some penis. Mariah is running around. Her tender ain't
nosy.
Her tender ain't swiped left or right. Like, let's let some of them young women, they're gonna mess around and sleep with Noah. They're gonna forget. It's gonna be like Lord of the Flies or something, or Amazon women. They're gonna forget that Noah is their brother and nephew. Abby gonna be like pulling down a bra, popping a breast.
Well, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the women. Mike, before the podcast, you were like Kevin and Scotty.
We know that they ain't going to do that. So go
on. It was kind of
you just shut that down.
I was using that as a segue to give Mike an opportunity to talk about the topic. Mike, what are your thoughts on Scotty?
I don't have any thoughts on Scotty because I don't really know him yet. And the only thing that was bothering me was that Lauren wouldn't leave him alone for 2 seconds. But, you know, I know that people are bored.
History, though. That makes sense for her history. He got kidnapped as a baby.
I understand it. My thing was that after watching all the other stuff this week, I saved Y&R for last. And then that just became like.
Yeah, you're conflating everything with Nicole with this.
Exactly. I was already sensitized.
But I mean, it makes sense with Lauren because.
A Campbell's Soup commercial that's really emotional for her. Lauren was crying because she thought her kid was going to get his head cut off.
I mean, you know, and it's like, because you made a good point, because the point I was going to make is her son did just get kidnapped, fool, so I could see her being so a smothering. And then Jamie makes the excellent point because that's probably like deja vu. Like, oh, you know, I know
she must have thought, where is Sheila?
Lauren thought Sheila
had escaped from that avocado farm. And that's what she thought.
It was actually made to look like the Middle East, but it really was an avocado farm.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of made to look like places, Kane was in Japan.
Yeah, doing the same storyline that Billy Miller did many years ago with I have to go here, and y'all know I love Sally, but this Kane stuff is a retread of Billy Miller and Missy Claire Egan's origin story. Missy Claire Egan's origin story in
Minnie.
Moonamon, Maria
Drummond.
I had to get an almanac when Maria Arena Bell was there because she kept sending them to all these foreign lands I never heard about.
Well,
you know, same.
For a moment, I almost half expected Jill to pop up as a geisha.
Yeah, it's like, I wish somebody could have told Sally before she started. We White Off fans have a repulsion to these go to Asia stories because Jill in that geisha outfit. Billy was in Myanmar in Asia. Isn't that an Asian country? Let me look it up. Or was that the Middle East?
Yeah, it's Asia.
It's in Nevada.
It's in Southeast Asia.
It is in Asia. It used to be called Burma. You know, and this is also the second time Kane has been.
Heard it's close to Big Bear.
It's the second time Shane's been Shanghai'd.
I don't say her and I went to. You don't want to mess with my. He tried to make fun of me not knowing where that one time I didn't know Aspen. But I'm sitting here looking at this story, and it's very much the same of Billy and Chelsea in Myanmar. And, and then this is the second time Kane has, I don't know if he's been drugged, but it certainly seems that
it's the third time. It's the third time. Remember Amber when she drugged him?
Amber did that, but no, Billy also was drugged by Chelsea, so I did have a groan moment there. I'm like, really? Are we doing another man who doesn't know if he did
Kane
something
just,
with a woman?
Con artist Kane, dumb as shit, boy. This is the third chick that drugged him into being stupid. It was Amber, it was Chloe, now it's this chick.
And they have got to, do a little better with their young people. You know, that's my big critique with White Arm. I'm loving the characterization still. I'm loving a lot of it. But we got to move past bringing back Jeannie Cooper to give Jill baubles and the advanced story. That's great. I love the flashbacks. They're good. But now it's time to move story forward for the whole show. Jeannie Cooper coming back in flashbacks cannot be the saving grace forever. We've got to move the story forward. We've got to get viable love stories for Abby, Mariah, for all of these young people, and not just this Dwayne and Whitley light stuff with Devon and Hillary, where she's like so obviously trying to make him jealous and these types of things. It's like, no, let's get some substance in these stories. Let's get some real romance for these women and men of this age group. Let's get some real solid triangles going.
Devon needs to get over Hillary making that girl fall. Like, enough. She wasn't pregnant enough. She didn't fall from Newman.
I think my thing is, with them is they just either have to be together or not be together.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing of it is, if you're gonna, whatever the issue is, it has to be played like for their age group, and it's not. 30-year-old people don't divorce and risk billion-dollar fortunes over.
No.
And he's obviously still in love with her, and so all of this, I'm gonna make him jealous with this hunky guy. That's just really, that's some vapid
waste
stuff.
Of time. It's fluff.
It's like, let's move that forward. Let's get some more meat on those bones. You know, Kane hugging the guy, ruining the deal, and then it has to be saved. I mean, some of that is just light romantic comedy, and I'm like, we need some soap opera. And I'm hoping Marla Adams coming back will finally give us that, because Ashley, not being John Abbott's daughter, is just a wonderful, rich, it's full of minefields, the fact that so many people don't know that. And I will say, overall, I still give White R a B+. I know that there's a lot of fans who are like, where's the story? It took
a lot.
I
think a lot of people are actually find it boring, which I find interesting. But you know what? Some people found General Hospital really good this week. So everybody has their own stand. Yeah, they have their own theater.
This is the thing about current soap fandom. It's like, the ones who remember the Bill Bell years, our attention spans have changed. And I'll say this, y'all know how much I love Get Ready for the Drinking Game, Another World. When they brought Another World back on Soap Debt, I couldn't watch it. Now, doesn't that sound crazy? Now, I can watch the clips of the stories I like on YouTube, but I couldn't watch full episodes anymore. And I was like, what the heck? But my attention span has changed so much by smartphones, this, that, Luke making me leave dial-up internet. I couldn't watch Charlene, cut potatoes for scene after scene with John, you know, which I loved that story as a kid, but, you know, I'm sitting there waiting, when are they going to screw? And then when you rewatch the story, it's like, wow, it took a long time for Charlene and John to screw. There was a lot of times of him just hobbling in there on that cane. Is there anything you need any help, Charlene? No! No, and she won't get with that Vietnam edit. I'm like, oh my God, was it really 6 months of this? Because that era, you know, is too slow nowadays. Even with a slow drama, you have to move with a clip. Like, I would say The Good Wife and The Good Fight move slow in terms of their, you know, they're not like Scandal, but they still move story fast. So there's got to be less Victor talking to that little girl.
To write a lot of characters, they sacrifice other ones.
There needs to be a really strong, fast-moving umbrella story that moves with a clip. I'm not saying I want GH on The Young and the Restless at all, but there does need to be more. The young people need to be doing more than hanging out with their blood relatives at Noah's Bar, except for, you know, the black people are the only ones not blood relatives, but all the white people are kin to each other, so none of them can screw. I'm like, get somebody in there before there's an end, before Mariah and Abby are fighting to commit incest with Noah. Get some more dudes in their age range. You know,
it looks like they're trying to do something with Mariah and that photographer or something. Oh, stop more, Devon. But it looks like that way.
Who's gonna get Scotty, Phyllis, or Sharon? Let them old women go on and butt their business and let them young girls have that man. Hell, Mariah and Abby would tear Scott's clothes off of him.
Exactly. I'd rather that than Mariah.
Chancellor Park. Sharon done had too many men folk. I tell you who Sharon needs. Stitch. Because Stitch should be all of us. We ain't even seen Stitch. Stitch know his homie gone. Stitch is, you know, Stitch should be there for Sharon. Like, well, Mac left me too, and you know we was in the war together. And before they get to that flashback, she just says, shut up and kiss me. You know, let Stitch be there for Sharon. But, Phyllis, you know, let Phyllis go on and hunch Robbie.
And she would actually be a good fit in the fact that she has mental health issues and his son has a mental health issue. I mean, so she's more understanding than Abby is.
Better. I know they've set up Ashley and Robbie, but let Phyllis go on. That would be kind of hot for Phyllis to have an Indian-American man that she's screwing and tech-geeking with. And then get Ashley a man with some gravitas. You know, there are so many actors out there, Robert Newman, Ted King.
You're not wrong, Julian.
Bring back Tucker McCall with another actor, not Stephen Nichols. Bring back, because Stephen Nichols.
Not Boys with World Daddy, either.
Robert Newman is Tucker McCall. You know, he comes back and, you know, he feels bad about what happened with him and Ash. And, you know, there's other things that they could be doing. And, you know, so it's like I see both sides. I'm still personally enjoying it because after 10 years of destruction and despair, you know, but the reality is a lot of people are complaining and the ratings are still down. And of course, there's a lot of factors. Sean Spicer is a factor, but there is the valid critique that you have a lot of young people on this show called The Young and the Restless who don't have romantic lives. All Abby is doing to keep her nether regions warm is putting Newman files down there in front of them. Ooh, these spreadsheets
Mariah
are so
hot. Mariah should not be up in Hillary's business like that. She should be up in Scotty's bed or up in Kevin's bed. Like, what happened to that?
See that differently. I would hate Hillary too. You done almost made me a cripple.
No, but you know.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Gonna give Jillian the final word.
She's too concerned about her personal life, and from what
Hillary
it looks,
keep messing with her. She didn't tell her.
No. And it looks as though that they're trying to make them frenemies. You have to do that.
They're Jaleesa and White R is becoming a different world with that GC Buzz story.
But Mariah should be up in somebody's bed instead of being up in Hillary's bed. Stop being nosy.
Yeah, you know, Mariah needs to be screwing. Abby needs to be screwing. Noah needs to be screwing. They all need to be screwing. They're Newman's got mistakes.
Lily needs to be screwing, too, instead of...
And I got to watch old man Nick and
Well, and Kane needs to learn to let somebody else taste his drink.
Take a shirt.
Before he takes a drink, because he's
Kane needs to get a drink from the bar himself instead of getting roofied
Tony
all the
needs
time.
To school business so she can leave that little boy alone and let him try to get to third base with them little fast girls with his singing, you know?
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at DaytimeConfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter.com/DCConfidential. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/DCConfidential. Follow Jamie at Jamie_Giddens on Twitter. Mike, it's MPJ what?
MPJ24.
And you can find Jillian at JillianBo. As always, you can find me at Luke_Kerr. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
I have a
new set of phone for business, little fast ever.